Morning, family. It's 10:30, so we'll make a start. Welcome to our church family meeting this morning in the House of God. Welcome to those who are on the live stream. Oh, that's all right. Am I switched on, Andrew? Maybe it needs to go up a bit. Is that better? Right, I'll try and start again then. I said, welcome to our church family meeting here in the House of God this morning, and welcome to those on live stream and those listening to the recording. The gales haven't stopped you, so you get extra points for being here this morning. I'm going to open in prayer and then lead us into a couple of songs that focus on our Heavenly Father. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that we've made it here. Thank you for your church family that's gathered together. Father God, we bring you our lives this morning. We bring you our hearts. We bring you our minds. Lord, you know what sort of state we're all in as we've come through that door. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to leave it at the foot of the cross this morning. That, Lord, you would be Lord of our emotions, of our minds, of our hearts. That you be Lord of our to-do list for when we get home, Lord. All the things that would want to push out the space that you deserve. Father God, we give you all of us this morning and ask that you would use us, that you would teach us, that you would help us to move on with our walks with Jesus, and that all would be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to read from Psalm 8 before we sing our first song together. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. If you'd like to stand, if you're able, we're going to start with number 506, How Great Thou Art.
Consider all the works I have. I have some sad news. On Thursday, the deacons received the following email from Pastor Stephen. There's been a sudden deterioration in my condition as my airway is becoming more and more restricted. Both our girls are with us and additional medical support is being put in place. We continue to lean on Jesus, expecting the complete healing he has promised. We will keep you informed of progress. Thank you for your love and prayers. Stephen. In Stephen's words, God's word has not changed, but he has not told me how far I will deteriorate before he steps in. We continue to pray earnestly for Stephen's healing and for Leslie, Rachel, Maria, and the family. However, we have heard this morning that Stephen has deteriorated overnight. The situation is fast moving, but the end is likely to be days rather than weeks, humanly speaking. We continue to trust in God's word. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." We're going to have a time of open prayer. I will lead us with a short prayer, and then anyone who wishes to pray, that's fine. Please pray loudly so we can all join in your prayer. Thank you. Let's pray. We thank you so much for Stephen and Leslie. They are not only our leaders, they are our dear friends. We thank you that you love them very dearly, and we put them into your safekeeping at this time. We pray they may know your shalom, your peace, deep inside. Stephen may know your healing, and Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Oh, Father God, please be very close to them at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, before you healed. And so, as much as we didn't want it to get to this point with Stephen, we just pray now, Lord, that you would heal. You would heal him as miraculously and powerfully as you did Lazarus. And Jesus, would this be for your glory, that your victorious name, your victory over sin and death and all brokenness would be seen, Lord. In that song we've just heard, you are Lord, Lord of all. And sometimes in this situation it can be really, really difficult to see that. But we don't lean on our own understanding, Lord. We don't understand, to be quite frank. And we just pray, Lord, that all the family, particularly Leslie and the girls, and I think particularly their younger daughter, Rachel, who is a doctor, and so many doctors say that it's the worst profession to be in this kind of situation. And Lord, we just pray that they would trust in you, and we would see your power, Lord, how we long to see Stephen restored. How we long to hear him bellow / sing, "It's time to go home," as he has so many times. Lord, we just, Jesus, you bring life and life in abundance. And as Stephen's energy is drained, we've just seen that sense of life and vibrancy drained too. And we just pray for resurrection. Jesus, come and be Lord, we exalt you. In your mighty, victorious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We just put him into your care, but we pray for us, the rest of the family. We all love them and we all care for them. You know how we're feeling today. Amen.
Amen.
At this very moment, Lord, we ask that you comfort them in ways that no one and nothing else can. Lord, may your will be done. Lord, we ask that we all benefit from the comfort that you give, Lord. That you freely give to each and every one of us and everyone throughout the world who just turn and look you full in the face, Lord. So be with Stephen, be with his family, be with people in this area and in Devon and in this country and in the world. Lord, may we just look to you in their suffering. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Stephen is such a witness to us, and it is not finished. He has such faith. His faith continues, and it has inspired others like Charlie, who spoke so well. Lord, he has the complete belief that you will heal him and you can do it. So let us not give up. Let us continue to pray. The last thing that Stephen said to me when I last saw him was that your prayers are working. But we need to continue to pray for Stephen and his family, Lord. He's such a great witness to us.
Amen.
Lord, there are so many things that we don't understand because we're only humans, and we acknowledge that your ways are higher than our ways and your understanding is complete in all things, Lord, and ours is not. We thank you for Stephen, who is such an example of faith and trust in you for us, who has led this church over the last 6 years in such a wonderful way. We have felt the movement of your Holy Spirit in the life of our church, which Stephen has facilitated. And we believe strongly, Lord, that you can heal him just by saying a word. In fact, the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, brought people back from the dead. So, Lord, we find it hard to understand what's happening. But whatever happens, we just pray for your love and your caring arms around that family at this present moment, Lord. And whatever happens, we pray that the work that has been started here will go ahead in an even stronger way. Yes. Help us all, enthused by Stephen's love and faith and trust, to have increased faith and love and trust ourselves. In the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
When Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, he was giving them instruction about how to meet together. And he said, whenever you meet, let everyone be ready to contribute a psalm. I'm sure, like me, you find the Psalms a source of great comfort. I know I've shared with some of you before, if I wake up at 3:23 a.m., I will listen to David Suchet reading the Psalms on my phone. There's a source of great comfort. And yet, of course, the Psalms were written almost primarily as poetic praise and worship. And therefore, it's right. Paul knew what he was saying when he said, when you meet together, bring a psalm. And he went on to say, why would you do that? He said, well, you do that because all of this is about making the church strong in the faith. So that's why this is an opportunity to bring a psalm as part of our corporate praise and worship. I know some of you have stolen a lead. I asked some of you to think about this. It's open to everybody. He was quite specific. He said, everyone be ready to bring a psalm. Some of you are more ready than others this morning. Gilly's going to start us. This is part of our praise. Let's see it as glorifying Father in heaven. And if you're led to share a psalm, don't feel I have to have asked you. Some of you have got psalms ready, I know. But Gilly, would you start us?
Verse 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Amen.
I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? Psalm 18.
Psalm 16. I bless the Lord, who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be shaken. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen.
Psalm 19 begins, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
Earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
Thank you. Psalm 25. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. That was the one I was going to read.
Psalm 73, the psalmist speaks of his frustration and annoyance at the seeming benefit and riches and easy life that the evil ones have. And it concludes with verse 23. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds.
Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no ill, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Psalm 103, from verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Thank you, Lord.
Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3 and 7. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm.
He'll watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Something Stephen did. Shout for the Lord. Psalm 100. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thanks. Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Psalm 147, verses 1 through to 11. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, and nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion.
Psalm 126, 1 to 3. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Amen.
I think we'll release the children now with Angela and Debbie. Let me pray for you before you go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you for Debbie and Angela who are blessing them this morning. Pray that you would speak to them as you speak to us, and that they would have a good time being out there together learning more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Connie gets special treatment this morning. Have a lovely time, Connie. There you go. We're going to sing a song using a lyric video. It's a song that we introduced to church on a Sunday evening service a little while ago. Its title officially is Hope Springs Eternal, but actually its subtitle is Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. And Mark and I were very mindful this morning that all of the songs that we have chosen for today, we chose a little while ago, and every one of them is appropriate to, I think, where our hearts are this morning. So we're going to play the lyric video. We've chosen one with a big orchestra, I think, so it doesn't matter that there aren't very many of us here. If you feel able to stand and try to join in, then feel free. If you want this to just minister to you and sit where you are, then that's absolutely fine. Claire and I will do our best to lead you in this song too. Christ, our hope in life and death.
Just whilst Eileen plays quietly, we'll take up the offering, please. Thank you that you are a good God. All that we have comes from you. Every blessing is new every morning. We thank you that you bless us with the things we take for granted, the warmth, the shelter, the food, the money for life. And Lord, we thank you that this is giving back to you. We thank you that we have this opportunity to bless you by bringing what is yours back to you sacrificially. We ask that you take these resources, Lord, and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Stephen was going to talk about Nebuchadnezzar this morning. You probably saw that build in the bulletin that came round. He asked me during the week if I'd pick up and speak this morning. I'm not going to talk about Nebuchadnezzar. I'm probably not going to talk, really. You've ministered the word to yourself this morning. What a glorious time of Psalms. It's just so much richness, isn't there? Giving Father his due and his glory. We are going to take a reading. Sue, if you could come up and share that reading. I think it's still spot on in terms of the word of the Lord today. I'm going to make a couple of comments afterwards, but I'm not going to speak as I intended. But Sue, could you come and read for us?
Morning, everyone. Today's reading is Romans 8, chapter 31 to 39. More than conquerors. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, Neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
God always blesses the public reading of his word, especially when you all read it to yourself, as we have done this morning. I was going to talk about being more than conquerors this morning. Now, this passage that we've just heard from comes after the passages earlier in that chapter where Paul talks about there being no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit has set you free. And he goes on to talk about how present suffering is incomparable with future glory. And says, for in this hope we were saved. And that all these things work for the good of those who love him. So when we read, as Sue just has done, what shall we say in response to these things? Those are the things he's just been talking about. No condemnation. Freedom in Christ, present suffering being incomparable with future glory. And then he comes to this, in many ways, a pivotal point in his book, the end of Romans 8, as we've just read. Being more than conquerors is about overcoming fears, overcoming doubt. The things that crowd in at a time like this. And it doesn't matter whether you're looking at, you know, a global level, a national level, a local level, a personal level. At the minute, it feels like there's just unprecedented doubt, uncertainty, fears crowding in. Whether it's Putin's latest threat, whether it's the prospect of, you know, economic difficulties, whether it's in your own situation, in our collective situation as we face this morning. But we are more than conquerors, is what God's word to us says. You know, it's all too easy for these things to crush and push out the truth of God's word. It is a fight. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy, and as one paraphrase puts it, be fearless in your struggle. Keep a firm grip on your faith and on yourself. After all, this is a fight we're in. And we fight not against flesh and blood, do we? We know that the battles are in heavenly and spiritual realms. That's what we contend with. And so we have this incredible set of promises that Paul wrote to the Romans about. The only thing I really wanted to comment on is the role fear plays in us struggling to believe. Fear is a great source of doubt. It's a very common trigger to our doubts. I was reminded when I was thinking about this week about that passage. You know, this was after the road to Emmaus experience, after Jesus had risen, and he meets, we don't know who, on the road to Emmaus, and he shares with them and they don't recognize him. And then their eyes are opened. Jesus then meets the other, the 11 disciples. It's in Luke 24. And it tells us that they did not believe for joy, because his resurrection was too good to be true. That's the sense of couldn't believe because of joy. They were overwhelmed. And we can interpret, we can read rightly into this and think, well,
Yet the rawness of the trial of Jesus that they'd seen, that the rawness of the crucifixion and the burial, that was just memories of pain, probably of real disappointment. He was supposed to be the Messiah. And those things ran very deep for Jesus' disciples. They might have felt that there'd been a deception, even. And in our individual situations today, maybe there are pains that run that deep. Maybe there are things that make it too hard to believe. Can't believe for joy. It's too good to be true. Those things keep us locked up. They keep us sealed from the release, from the freedom, from the resurrection that God's word promises us. Even though we may have deep convictions in other areas of our life, there can be pain points, disappointments that keep us locked in. If we're going to truly trust, if we're going to truly love, if we're going to truly believe, that means opening up. But so often, rather than risk what that brings, we just let doubts take control. We read in Luke 24, after we've heard how the disciples couldn't believe for joy, Jesus, in his usual gracious, tender, loving way, it says of him, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Would you notice when Paul, and this is really all I want to say, when Paul talks about we are more than conquerors in verse 37 there of Romans 8, he writes, through him who loved us. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Have you ever stopped to think about the tense? The tense of loved. You think in some way loves, the present would feel more obvious, but he's very specific. Through him who loved us. Because you see, for Paul, the power of God's love here and now in the pain of the moment is only grasped when we ruthlessly take ourselves back to the cross and see that he loved, past tense. It's what Paul meant when he wrote earlier in Romans chapter 5. He said, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's why it's loved, past tense. That's why we can't allow the pain of the moment to drive us into doubt. It has to drive us back to the cross, to his love shown on the cross, past tense. Calvary is where he loved us. Triumphantly and eternally. That's where he disarmed darkness. It's where he showed us that Christian conquering can look utterly unexpected sometimes. It can look, as the psalmist says, like a, because it's that quote that is buried in that passage, about facing death every day. That's from Psalm 44. It looks like a sheep being led to the slaughter. That's what this looked like. What do you see when you see Christ's love? Jesus hanging on a tree? All the things that Paul has just written to say, what shall separate us? All those things look like they're not true with Jesus hanging on the cross. He was troubled. He was in hardship. He was persecuted. He was naked. He was in danger. All the things that Paul's just said, none of these things can separate us. It looks like we're seeing Christ conquered, doesn't it? Jesus hanging on a cross. But look closer. That's a crown. Who wears crowns? Kings. Conquering kings. You see, the cross enthroned Jesus. Yes, he was separated from his Father so that you didn't have to be. He's wearing a crown and he's enthroned by that tree. And of course, he rose deathless over death, didn't he? That was the conquering. That was the victory. He's not Christ conquered. He's Christ conquering. That's why there's no place for doubt in the pain of the moment. Real as it is. See, Jesus hanging on that cross says, even here, I'm with you. Even here, my love holds fast. Even here, I'm going to carry you through anguish and into glory. That's the truth of it. So let's honestly face our doubts, but let's face them with the word of truth, that we are more than conquerors because he loved us. There's more we could say, but it doesn't need to be said right now. Let's just take a moment and reflect quietly before we move on.
Father God, I thank you that in all these things we are more than conquerors through you who loved us. For we are convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father God, thank you that when we sometimes feel like our feet are being swept from under us, that we can stand on your word. Help us, Lord, this week when our thoughts run away with us, to turn back to your word, to the truth that is there that holds fast like an anchor. Father God, thank you that you have given us your word. Thank you for this church family. Thank you that you allow us to come into your presence and worship you despite how we're feeling. Thank you that you help us to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, rather than saying the grace or saying a blessing, I have brought a song that I would like to play as we're seated. If you want to close your eyes, that's up to you. If you want to read the words on the screen, that's up to you. Two people brought Psalm 121 to us this morning. And this song is written straight from the words of Psalm 121. So just let this be a blessing to you at the end of the service. Thank you, Andrew. Father God, thank you again for the truth in your word. Thank you that you will sustain us and keep us from all evils. Father God, as we go and have coffee together, as we leave to go to our homes, Father God, I pray that you'd help us to be open to your Holy Spirit, to the prompting of your spirit, with the best way to be praying for Stephen and Leslie, Lord. Help us to come to you with our hurt and our pain and our worry and concern for them. And help us to be open to your Holy Spirit, Lord, guiding us as to how to pray. Thank you that you have our backs and our futures. Thank you that nothing is a surprise to you, Lord. Thank you that you direct our steps and ordain our days. Thank you that we can stand in that truth and the truth that we are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name and for his glory I pray. Amen.
If anybody would like prayer, the team will be available as usual at the front here. The live stream will be off, of course, at that point.